General Aviation's accident rate went up in 2008. Centurion diesels are now back on sale, if you dare. And North Korea's missile test, a.k.a. satellite launch, could go tomorrow. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 3rd, 2009. The National Transportation Safety Board yesterday released its preliminary aviation accident statistics for the 2008 calendar year, and the news is mixed. On-demand Part 135 operations, including air medical, air taxi, and air tour flights, had 56 accidents and 66 deaths. That's the highest number of fatalities since 2000, and up from 43 in 2007. The accident rate per 100,000 flight hours, however, remained virtually unchanged from 2007 at 1.52 versus 1.54. The number of accidents involving large commercial carriers under Part 121 was 28 in both 2008 and 2007, and both years went without a single passenger fatality. The commuter airlines logged 7 accidents last year. That's up from 3 in 2007, but no fatalities in either year. Obviously, 2009 is off to a bad start in that column. In general aviation, there were 1,559 accidents, 275 of which involved fatalities. A total of 495 deaths were recorded, one fewer than the previous year. The GA accident rate per 100,000 flight hours was 7.11. That's up from 6.92 in 2007. In the last 20 years, the highest accident rate was 9.08 in 1994, and the lowest was 6.33 in 2006. German officials tell us the reorganization of insolvent T-Alert aircraft engines is progressing, and a new company has been formed to oversee the company's assets as insolvency administrator Bruno M. Kubla seeks to find a qualified buyer. The newly established Centurion aircraft engines will be unaffected by the insolvency proceedings. An extended 2-year warranty from the new company will cover all newly manufactured Centurion engines and spare parts issued directly to end customers. Centurion will now be responsible for global sales of new Centurion engines, if it can find any OEMs willing to trust it as a source for new engines. Centurion took a jab at its new competitor, noting the recently certified Austro Engines AE300 is both slightly larger and heavier than the Centurion engine it replaced in Diamond's DA42. Centurion says the engine is, quote, basically only suited as a drive for the DA42NG, a model which was specifically developed for it, unquote. As for Kubla's lack of success so far in finding a buyer, he leans on 2009's most popular excuse, the economy. He adds, quote, TAE is basically a healthy company, and TAE can even become completely healthy to the core, unquote. The clock is counting down to the start of the stated window for launch of a multi-stage rocket by North Korea. Fox News cites North Korean sources in reporting the launch of the Taepodong 2 missile, which is now sporting a bulb-shaped payload cover, will happen between Saturday and Tuesday. The shape of the payload cover looks more like the satellite North Korea claims it is than the dummy warhead feared by Western intelligence. Regarding flights by U.S. RC-135 surveillance planes near the site, state-run radio from the north says, quote, if the brigandish U.S. imperialists dare to infiltrate spy planes into our airspace to interfere with our peaceful satellite launch preparations, our revolutionary armed forces will mercilessly shoot them down, unquote. It's not clear with what. Japan is making preparations to shoot down any parts of the missile which threaten to fall on its territory. North Korea's broadcast response says the nation, quote, will consider this as the start of Japan's war of reinvasion and mercilessly destroy all its interceptor means and citadels with the most powerful military means, unquote. Adding to the international tension, North Korea announced on Tuesday it will indict and try 2 American journalists accused of crossing the border illegally from China on March 17th to conduct, quote, hostile acts, unquote. Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana has been picked as the new home of the U.S. Air Force's Global Strike Command, which will oversee most of the military's nuclear bomber fleet and strategic ballistic missile operations. In its announcement yesterday, the Air Force said the command will include both the 8th and 20th Air Force. 8th already is headquartered at Barksdale. 20th's headquarters is at F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Wyoming. The new command will manage B-2 Spirit and B-52 Stratofortress bomber operations. That capability was formerly managed by Air Combat Command at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. As we've reported, the new command is part of a reorganization ordered by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, following some embarrassing nuclear security lapses. Up next on ANN, Avidyne says it's ADS-B ready, and you may be too. L3 Avionics sounds taps for the era of steam gauge backups. And modern battery technology comes to aircraft backup systems. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. Avidyne has made two significant product announcements this week. At AEA 2009 in Dallas, the company announced its new TAS-600A traffic alerting system will be ADS-B compatible. Of particular note to existing owners, Avidyne also says its earlier TAS-600 system is fully upgradable to ADS-B. Avidyne also traveled to Germany to unveil its new MLX-780 Iridium-based transceiver at Aero Friedrichshafen. The 780 provides worldwide airborne satellite telephone service as well as data link weather. The new transceiver also boasts industry-standard handset and third-party dialer interfaces and an industry-standard audio panel interface that allows pilots to communicate directly through their headsets. Deliveries are expected to begin this fall, but Avidyne is accepting orders now at an introductory price of $14,990. Or $3,000 more than the MLX-770. Owners of the 770 can upgrade their units for $2,000. L3 Avionics Systems announced yesterday at AEA its new Trilogy ESI-1000 electronic standby instrument is currently on schedule to be certified and available this July. Trilogy is designed as a backup for glass panels and is the first solid-state integrated standby system created specifically for Part 23 aircraft. L3 VP of Sales and Marketing Larry Riddle noted, quote, "Modern glass cockpits are still backed up by decades-old standby technology. Trilogy replaces those instruments with new technology and, for the first time, makes a truly all-glass cockpit possible for GA aircraft," unquote. Trilogy combines attitude, altitude, airspeed, and optional heading data on a 3.7-inch diagonal active matrix LCD. The instrument fits a standard 3 ATI mounting cutout and has an integrated air data computer, solid-state attitude sensor, and optional external magnetometer to present accurate flight information independently of other systems. Look for availability through OEMs and retrofitters. Mid-Continent Instruments is at AEA to introduce the industry's first emergency power supply featuring lithium nanophosphate technology. The MD-800 series automatically provides power for standby equipment during aircraft power loss or interruption, and can be used as a direct replacement for the older Goodrich PS-835. So why would you do that? Well, it's a no-brainer, according to MCI Director of Sales Tom Genovese. Quote, "Lower weight, lower cost, extended maintenance intervals, and the use of lithium supports our green initiatives. We truly get the lead out with this product," unquote. The spec sheet says it weighs only 4.5 pounds. That's 8 pounds less than the competition. MCI says it uses the standard mating connector and mounts in a standard 1/4 ATR rack. Capacity checks are required only biennially versus yearly, and it has a 10-year life expectancy. One of the first agenda items for the Aircraft Electronics Association's show in Dallas yesterday was the award of the 2009 AEA Lifetime Achievement Award. Robert Carpenter was born in 1934 in Graniteville, South Carolina, where he spent his childhood exploring, fishing, and building model airplanes. He earned his own money to pay for flying lessons at age 15. During his sophomore year at Clemson, Carpenter joined the U.S. Air Force, eventually teaching engines and airframes while stationed in Amarillo, Texas. After leaving the Air Force in 1958, he began a civilian career in maintenance and avionics. In the early 1980s, Dean Dom, manager of Capital Avionics, where Carpenter worked, offered him a chance to start his own avionics shop next to Dom's FBO in Nashville. Today, Carpenter Avionics is located in Smyrna, Tennessee, has 22 employees, and has received national awards and recognition for its work and exemplary customer service. Bob Carpenter has been elected twice to serve as an international officer for AEA. The organization says that today, Carpenter is focused on family time with his two kids, Beth and David, and four grandchildren. Still ahead, Cessna High Wings get the okay from the FAA for SVT. Delta's latest cuts are executive positions, and NASA may compromise with Stephen Colbert. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna Aircraft had news for attendees at Aero Friedrichshafen yesterday. The company says the FAA has certified Garmin's synthetic vision technology for all G1000-equipped 172 Skyhawks, 182 Skylanes, 206 Stationairs, and the Caravan product line. SVT gives the pilot a 3D graphical representation of the surrounding terrain and displays the aircraft's position in an enhanced topographical database, including 3D obstacle identification, traffic, flight path marker, zero pitch line, runway information, and airport signs. In most cases, SVT will be available for retrofit to earlier production G1000-equipped Cessnas. Cessna says it expects FAA certification for SVT on the Citation Mustang, 350 Corvallis, and 400 Corvallis TT in coming weeks. Application has also been made for EASA validation. Delta told its employees Wednesday that five VP or higher executive positions are being eliminated as the integration of the former Northwest Airlines continues and the economic downturn persists. The Associated Press reports the memo from CEO Richard Anderson and President Ed Bastian did not go into detail on other workforce cuts that might be needed to match a planned 10% capacity reduction for 2009. Quote, "We have been and continue to be committed to avoiding involuntary reductions of frontline employees to the greatest extent possible. Bottom line, the global economic downturn is worse than many economists anticipated. We will continue to act quickly and decisively to address these economic pressures looking ahead for the remainder of 2009 and into 2010, unquote. Delta has revealed plans to cut international capacity, mainly on its Atlantic and Pacific networks, but still plans an increase in Latin American capacity this fall. The carrier is scheduled to release its first quarter financials on April 21st. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, held a ceremony on Tuesday honoring the three flight attendants who successfully evacuated over 150 passengers of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 after that water landing on the Hudson River. At the union's board of directors meeting, the CB Lansing Award for Heroism was presented to Sheila Dale, Donna Dent, and Doreen Welsh. Veda Shook, AFA-CWA International VP, observed, quote, "Passengers and their colleagues have praised the professionalism of Sheila, Donna, and Doreen, and America has adopted them as their heroes. Today, we honor them on behalf of over 50,000 flight attendants at major, national, charter, and regional carriers across the country," unquote. The CB Lansing Memorial Award was established following the tragic and heroic events aboard Aloha Airlines Flight 243 on April 28, 1988. Aloha flight attendants faced a sudden and serious aircraft incident. Lansing did not survive. However, her fellow flight attendants persevered, rendering life-saving first aid in flight as they planned for an emergency landing. The award is not given out every year. It's reserved for cases of heroism beyond the call of duty. There have been only four prior recipients. And finally today, comedian Stephen Colbert has campaigned to get various things named after him, resulting in an eagle, a bridge in Hungary, and an ice cream flavor all bearing the name Colbert. But in his latest campaign, Comedy Central's late-night comic who parodies conservative talk shows aimed higher. Fox News reports his write-in campaign to get NASA to name the International Space Station's Node 3 after him did, indeed, draw 230,000 votes, more than any other name. That includes Serenity, the highest-ranked NASA suggestion, which came in 40,000 behind Colbert. NASA officials saw the vote getting out of hand weeks ago and reminded everyone it's non-binding. But pressure is building to honor the outcome. Congressman Chaka Fattah, a Pennsylvania Democrat, urged NASA to respect the results of the online poll. To those who say Serenity is a more appropriate name, Colbert retorts, quote, Serenity? That's not a space station, that's an adult diaper, unquote. Public pressure notwithstanding, NASA seems to be working on a compromise. William Gerstenmaier, NASA's space operations chief, said Saturday, quote, We have a plan, and we're working with some folks, and in a couple of weeks, you'll know what the answer is, unquote. Fox says its sources say NASA's compromise will be to name Node 3's space toilet Colbert. The comedian has issued NASA a joking ultimatum, quote, Either name that node after me, or I too will reject democracy and seize power as space's evil tyrant overlord. Balls in your court, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN managing editor Rob Finfrock reports from Dallas on what happened at the first day of the annual convention and show of the Aircraft Electronics Association. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.